Today's scripture comes from Acts 16:9-15. A vision of a man from Macedonia came to Paul during the night. He stood urging Paul, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Immediately after he saw the vision, we prepared to leave for the province of Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. Lydia's conversion. We sailed from Troas straight for Samothrace, and came to Neapolis the following day. From there, we went to Philippi, a city of Macedonia's first district and a Roman colony. We stayed in that city several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the riverbank, where we thought there might be a place for prayer. We sat down and began to talk with the women who had gathered. One of those women was Lydia, a Gentile God worshiper from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. As she listened, the Lord enabled her to embrace Paul's message. Once she and her household were baptized, she urged, "Now that you have decided that I am a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us to stay. The word of God for the people of God.
So as we continue looking at what it means to be spiritual, to live a spiritual life, we come today to the theme of spiritual connection. We think oftentimes about spiritual connection as being connected with God through the Holy Spirit, which is true. But spiritual connection often has a lot more to do with our connection with one another, because God rarely connects with us alone. He always tends to pull people together in community, because at the heart of God is love, which entails relationships by necessity. And so we're looking at today, in particular, how God connects people together for a much greater purpose. Paul had been traveling around, had been preaching the gospel in many places on his missionary journeys. And throughout the book of Acts, we find that he is very in tune with the Holy Spirit in terms of where to go, what direction to seek. And there were many times throughout these chapters leading up to chapter 16 where Paul is ready to set sail for a particular place. And it says something along the lines of, "And the Spirit blocked their path." The Spirit would not allow them to go to this place or that place. And I imagine time after time, Paul is getting frustrated with this, because we all sort of have this idea of where it is that we want to go in life. We don't like our travel plans to be interrupted. We don't like to be distracted or to be put off of our attempts, especially in Paul's case, our good attempts to serve God and to proclaim the gospel. Now, I don't think for a minute that God didn't want the gospel proclaimed in all of those different places. Eventually, it would spread. But God is not in the business of just dropping people randomly into a place where God is not at work and expecting us to do miracles. I think one of the reasons we shy away from evangelism and we shy away from sharing the gospel with others is because we feel like we're so alone. And we often feel disconnected, and we're out there in the world among people who may or may not believe in the scriptures and the gospel. And we kind of in the back of our minds and our hearts say, "Yeah, I kind of want to share about Jesus with them, but I just really don't. No, I'm all alone here. You know, what if I don't have the answers to their questions? What if they reject me?" Whatever the reason may be, and we feel like we're just kind of in the middle of the ocean almost, as it were, by ourselves, trying to do this work. And I don't think God really tends to work that way. Rather, what God tends to do, as we saw last week with Paul and his conversion story, and how he brought him together with Ananias in the community and then later with Barnabas to travel with him and train him, what God tends to do is bring multiple people together. God shows them visions and gives them dreams and passions for a particular purpose in a community or in a situation. And then he raises up other people nearby. And when it's those people connect and they start sharing their stories with one another and they start sharing their vision and they start realizing how much they have in common, then that plan of God, as it were, is confirmed in them. And they're able to go stronger together than they would have alone. And that's what we see happening here. Paul has been trying to figure out where to go. He wants to proclaim the gospel. Everywhere he goes seems to be blocked. And then all of a sudden he gets this vision of a man from Macedonia that says, come over here to Macedonia and help us. And immediately Paul knew that's where he needed to go. Now, what's interesting about Macedonia, and particularly Philippi, where he ends up going there in that Roman colony, is that because it is so Roman and so Gentile, there is not even a Jewish synagogue in town. Most of the time when Paul goes to places, he starts as Jesus did. He starts in a synagogue. Now, oftentimes, his message is not received there, and he goes on to the Gentiles beyond that. But usually, the synagogue is a good starting place for figuring out who's there, who already believes in God, how we can kind of pull something together to proclaim the message of Jesus and to sort of start a ministry out of this place. But in Philippi, there is no synagogue. Essentially, what that means is that there were not even 10 solid Jewish men to be able to come together to form a synagogue. That's what was required in a town or a community to be able to form a synagogue, was 10 Jewish men to count as a quorum, as it were, to be able to launch a place of worship. So there was no place of Jewish worship. There were not even 10 Jewish men in this city who were willing to come together to worship on the Sabbath every week. That's not what we would consider a fruitful place. We would think God's not really at work in this city at all. They're worshiping all the Roman gods. They're worshiping the emperor. There's plenty of religion going on. But no Judaism, no worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so what in the world, I imagine Paul wonders, are we doing here in this place where God is nowhere to be found? And so on the Sabbath, there is no synagogue for him to go and worship at, and so they go down by the river to pray, and they find a group of women gathered there. Lydia is among them. She is a local businesswoman. She's probably fairly well off, a free woman. We don't know all her family situation. We do know that she sells purple. Now, we don't know that whether that's purple dye or purple fabric or whatever it may be. We do know enough to say that that makes her in a pretty good business, because the dye was rare and the ability to make purple cloth was expensive. And so she's probably got a pretty good business going. She's fairly well off, or at least comfortable. And she's gathered on the riverside, and it says that she is a God-fearing woman. Now, she's a Gentile, she's a Greek, she's never heard about Jesus, but she's heard enough in passing to recognize that there's something different and unique about the God of the Jews, about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she is a God-fearing woman. She is a Gentile who believes in this Jewish God, the God of the Old Testament. She probably doesn't have a whole lot of opportunity, though, to learn about who this God is, because there's no synagogue. There's no place for her to go to learn the scriptures, to study the Old Testament, as it were. And so she prays the best she can, pours herself out to this God, and she's gathered there on the river talking to the women. And Paul finds them, and he begins to share with them the message that he came to bring, the message of the good news of Jesus, of the salvation and the forgiveness that he offers, of the way Jesus revealed God's character and love to the world through his own sacrifice, and the way that he offers reconciliation between all people and God. And Lydia is intrigued, she's inspired, she's filled with excitement and joy. This is the message she's been waiting for all along, and she didn't even know it. And it says that she immediately acknowledged Paul's message. that she listened and the Lord enabled her to embrace the message, and that at once her whole household was baptized. And not only were they baptized, but she decides very quickly then and there that as there seemed to be no other God-fearing people around and no other Christians certainly around in the area, she has a much larger responsibility on her hands. She can't just simply believe in Jesus and say, "Yay, my family is saved. I'm so proud of them. I'm so happy that my little family is saved and baptized and we're good to go. We'll get into heaven. Everything will be good. We've got our little private religion and our private faith and all that and all is well." No. She says, "You know what? There are an awful lot of people who don't have an opportunity to hear this message on a regular basis." And so she opens up her home. She invites Paul to come to her home, and then, with probably all the business connections that she has in town, starts inviting everybody else that she knows to come to her home to hear this message. It's fitting that on Mother's Day, and by the way, I did not plan this, this is how the Spirit kind of works, turns out that we are talking about one of the mothers of the early church. This woman in Philippi who essentially started the church that later Paul would write the letter to the Philippians, to this community, a letter we've all read and known well. And so, because of Lydia's openness, because of Paul's openness to this random vision, to this place where there are essentially no Jews even present, God makes this connection between Paul and Lydia, and then uses Lydia and her connections through her business to essentially plant a new church, to give birth to a new community of faith in a place where no one had previously had an opportunity to hear the good news of Christ. It's a pretty amazing story of new life, of new birth, of one of the first early spiritual mothers of the church. All because God brought all these different pieces and moving parts together, none of whom had known each other, none of whom had any clue how to do it by themselves. And that's the way God tends to work. Today, I am the recipient of the blessing that has come from the impact of this particular story on another person's life. A modern day Lydia, if you will. Her name is Ann Sturette. She's in just outside of Statesville, North Carolina. She was a member at Davidson, a layperson in Davidson, many, many years ago. She had some land, her family had some land just outside of Statesville. Beautiful property, acreage, and she, like Lydia, had been given this vision, this desire for a space for people to be able to come and hear and encounter the Spirit and the presence of God. But she didn't really know what to do with it. There was this land, but that's all it was. People used it for hunting. But she didn't really know much else about starting a ministry. She wasn't called to be a pastor. So she talked to her pastor at the time at Davidson, Reverend Jody Seymour. And they started to pray together and they started to envision what God could be doing and how God could be calling her. And ultimately, she grew into a ministry of spiritual direction. She got significant training in spiritual direction in multiple places. And she gained a vision to turn that land into an incredible retreat center. A huge house for hospitality, for gatherings, trails in the woods to walk along the stream and the lake and to be refreshed in the sanctuary of creation, a labyrinth for prayer, most recently adding the Stations of the Cross out through the woods and an opportunity to reflect there on Jesus' final days. And then countless retreats and programs led not only by herself but by many of us. And I've been privileged over this past year to now be part of one of those teams to lead retreats. And what I find so fascinating about all of these teams is the stories of all of the leaders and all the people who come that are so similar, that find ourselves very much like these women at the riverbank, wondering, there's got to be something more. There's got to be a deeper connection with God. There's got to be something more than even what we're finding in the church sometimes. And we're all hungry for a deeper connection with the Holy Spirit. And somehow, one by one, Anne finds us all. Just as Lydia found so many people through all of her connections. And she becomes this spiritual mother to a community of thousands that until recently was mostly located in the Statesville, Davidson, Charlotte area, and now has expanded literally worldwide through Zoom during the pandemic. And has created a community of faith where people are deeply rooted in learning and practicing ancient spiritual practices together. Lectio Divina and silence and centering prayer and holy listening to one another and covenant circle groups and all of this in-depth formation in being in relationship with one another, much like I imagine the early church was when they really came together. It says in the early church, often they would dine together throughout the week. And dining together was not just fellowship for the sake of chatting and catching up on the weather. Dining together in the first century meant you're talking about real issues, real life. That's why they were very strict about who was welcome at their table, because they were going to be vulnerable. They were going to be talking about religion and politics and all the big things that we say don't talk about in good company. This was what a dinner was in their society. And so they have these gatherings. And I imagine those kinds of gatherings were happening at Lydia's home on a regular basis, pouring out their lives to one another, trusting, being vulnerable, talking about where the Spirit is at work. And the amazing thing is that it would have been very, very easy for Paul to walk into Philippi and say, you know what, God, there's not even a synagogue here. Nobody knows you. This isn't worth my time. And he could have moved on. How many opportunities do we have to connect with people in our lives? And we think God's not at work there. That person doesn't know God. That person's not interested in the church. God is nowhere to be found in this place or this situation. And maybe, just maybe, the Spirit was already at work all along. And maybe, just maybe, all they needed was for somebody to be willing to share how the Spirit is at work in their lives, in our lives, how Jesus has shaped us and formed us, and what Jesus is calling us to, and the vision that God has given us for our family, for our church, for our community, and to share that with them. And maybe all of a sudden the light bulb goes on and somebody at random that you never expected says, you know what? I've had a heart for that too. I've had a burden for that too. And you know what? I know somebody else that's been thinking about this, but we just didn't know what to do. Here, let's get together. And two or three come together. Four or five. I can count a number of ministries that have started, that have thrived, because people that thought they were alone, people that thought they were the only ones that even cared about the work of God, even in their church, all of a sudden reached out. We saw this happen at a church that Mackenzie was serving down in Union County many years ago. I was sitting with the men's Bible study, and they were feeling this sense, this tug of God to say, we need to do something for our community. We're good at doing, fellowships and events for our church people, but we needed to do something to serve the community. But we have no idea what, and nobody seems interested. The council didn't want to do anything. What do we do? And as we talked about it, we said, well, what if you all just do it? There's four or five of you here in the room. What if you did something? And what if you didn't take it to the council? Because immediately they're going to say, well, no, we don't have the money. That's too hard. Nobody's going to respond. There's all the reasons that we have of why we shouldn't start this new thing. There's a risk involved. But what if you talk to somebody? And I remember early on in that conversation, it was when one of the men went to the organist of the church and told him about the vision that they had begun to have for a clothing closet. And her eyes lit up, and her passion, her excitement, just like Lydia, grew. And she ended up being one of the most solid founders of what later became Christ Closet, that has now, over the years, expanded into a weekly food pantry serving at least 70 to 80 families, many of whom are refugees right now from Ukraine and other places, as well as countless other mission projects, restoring homes, providing furniture or utilities for people, going into schools and providing clothes and other needs, all sorts of connections that they have made and built and expanded upon. Because these couple of people were willing to share vulnerably what God was calling them to. They were willing to reach out to one or two other people and realize there were more than just them that were interested. And God did something amazing, just like God did when Paul came to Lydia. And so I want to ask us today, who is that person that God is inviting us to? What vision is God laying on our hearts that we haven't shared with anybody? That we're hungry for, that we know God is calling us to, but we don't have the resources. And we don't have the knowledge, and we're afraid to take the risk, but maybe there's somebody else, or two or three somebody else's, maybe in this church, maybe not in this church, maybe out in the community somewhere. And God is saying, partner with them. Share your heart. Share what I have laid on your heart. And maybe, just maybe, it's like that Macedonian call. Come over here. And you'll find and be surprised that when you share with that person says, I have been waiting for somebody like you. I've been waiting. I thought I was the only one that felt this way. I thought I was the only one that had this passion for my community and for this particular need around me. Please come. We're starting to build those partnerships as we continue our ministry with Grant Quarry Elementary, especially with the schools in general, but most especially with the elementary school, because they're our neighbors. They're right in our backyard. And we've started to make connections with those teachers. It began with just a couple of conversations with the principals, taking school supplies every year to them. A lot of churches do that. And then we started writing cards. And then we gave Christmas gifts to the teachers with great generosity. And we've gotten responses from five teachers at Grant Quarry Elementary over the past week who are going to bring their families to our fellowship, to our barbecue next week to celebrate the end of the school year. And I can't help but wonder, particularly as one of them said in their response, thank you so much for how much your church cares about our school. That didn't just come from an invitation to a barbecue. I imagine that came because she's already gotten two handwritten cards from several of you this year. And she knows personally that there are people that love her and care about her and that have been praying for her. We don't know where this will lead. We don't know what will grow out of it. Only God does. But I do know this. Unless we are willing to risk the connection, to share our vision, to share our love, to share our heart, to share what God is giving us and empowering us to do. We'll never know all the people that might be right in our own paths already, where the Spirit is at work, and the Spirit is just waiting to give birth to something new and something wonderful that may transform a whole community, as Lydia's little home did for the city of Philippi. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and thank you for the many, many ways that you connect us together. That you don't just give us a vision and say, here, go do it, go solve it, go fix all the world's problems. No, you give a burden to each and every one of us. Unique gifts and unique passions and unique connections. Lydia had connections in that community that Paul never could have. Was able to bring people together to hear the word in her home that Paul would have never reached. And Lord, you have put people in each and every one of our lives that nobody else may be able to connect with except us. And so help us to be vulnerable. Help us to take the risk. Open our eyes to those calls as Paul got from that man from Macedonia. To go into places that seem the most barren, the most empty. To speak with people and to open our hearts to people that we least expect would be interested. And just to see where you might be at work. Surprise us with the ways that your Spirit continues to connect us for something greater, to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so, for all this, we pray in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit with us. Amen.